Shall we open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 3? We'll continue our study, and based on the outline being passed out there, we're looking at the blessings of wisdom especially as it is held to. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to pick it up in verse 21 today, 21 through 26. Cover a little ground. Proverbs 3, 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Now that's the key to all that follows. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Ray, would you open us in prayer? Amen. Well, Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and it's important how we respond to it. And we've seen several aspects of that. For instance, we want to be open to wisdom's voice. We want to diligently seek wisdom. Here we're seeing that we want to hold to wisdom. Verse 21, my son, let not them depart. In other words, the word of God, the truth, wisdom. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Now, if you have the outline there, and these translations are from Kyle and Delitch, may they not depart from thine eyes. Preserve thoughtfulness and consideration. Now, you know that there is a effort on the part of Satan, actually the world, and the flesh goes for it, to be distracted somehow. To get our eyes off of the Lord, who is wisdom, by the way, Proverbs 8, and to not be occupied with and to hold to wisdom in our hearts. And we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, like we hear in the hymn. And so we need to have a self-watch always. And you can never be off your guard as a Christian. I'm not talking about the security of the believer. We know that is sure and eternal, and we'll see that in the next study, in fact, in the book of Jude. But we're looking at how there is a holding to wisdom. For instance, Paul said, hold fast to that form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 1:13. And so you have the truth. Well, you can have the truth, but then you can let sin get in, and you can drift, right? Hebrews 2, for instance, we have to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But literally, it's lest we should slip. It's subtle. You can slip, right? It can happen maybe through trials in life or maybe through compromise. But in one way or another, if we're not careful, if we don't hold the wisdom, we can drift. We go off in a different direction. So we need the warning. And of course, it is with a blessing, too, to don't let these things depart from your eyes. Preserve it. And then you have the blessings that flow from that. Now let's compare a couple passages. Proverbs 4:21, a parallel passage, 4:21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. In other words, now let's look at this on a practical side. If they're not departing from your eyes, then they're before your eyes. You're reading the Bible, right? And study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes much time. You don't want to let other things crowd it out, because we need that meditation. Let's go to Psalm 1. This is a good one to show the need. Is it getting warm in here or is it me? That furnace keeps cranking. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, and now that's when you're growing, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But in his law doth he meditate. He's, you know the thought, he's chewing the cud. He's thinking about it, meditating on it. Every day we need that, don't we? And so there's no substitute for that. Let's go to one more, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is about to go into the land. He's commanded by God, be strong and of good courage. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. But then God told him how he could be strong. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Now notice, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So it's no different today, is it? And when there's a meditation on the Word, and there's a strength that comes from that spiritually, there's blessing that comes from that, but it takes a focus, doesn't it? God is very interested in the mind. The Bible talks about a renewing of the mind. Satan's interested in the mind, too. And so we want to, as you have in that metaphorical book, Holy War by John Bunyan, you have the man soul. It's a city called Man Soul. If you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about. And there you have the ear gate and you have the eye gate. And there's ways that the enemy can get in. He's always trying to get in. Well, if you stay in the Word, that's a major, major safeguard. Jesus used it against him, didn't he? It is written. And so there's where the truth is. In fact, we can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our reasoning. We can't trust the flesh. Certainly can't trust the world. But we can the Word of God, where wisdom is found. So may they not depart from thine eyes. Now you have a very practical application. I won't turn to it in Deuteronomy 6, where it puts the scriptures on your doorpost and hang it up, in other words, where you're occupied with it. You're thinking about it. Your memorization is good. But any way that we can get it in our heads and get it in our hearts, that's what will help us in this process of sanctification, that we know the blessings of wisdom. Now, let's go back to our passage in chapter 3:21. He says, may they not depart from thine eyes, preserve thoughtfulness and consideration. Now, this is in contrast to entertaining vain and sinful thoughts. There is a certain carefulness, isn't there, that ought to be there in the thought life. In, for instance, in Psalm 139, where David is talking about the omniscience of God, and he says, you know my thought afar off. Well, at the end he says, search me, O God, know my thoughts. Try me, know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Might not have quoted that exactly right, but you get the idea. Search me. In other words, God is omniscient. You know, he sees it more accurately than we see it. And it's good to be subject to God's Spirit in that way and to the Word of God, the searchlight. We may think we're okay. It's like the story of Vernon McGee out on the golf course, and it started to rain, and he goes in this little cave, and he thought, he's real smart, you know. Until he turned the light on, there's all these creeping critters all around. And then he got out of there. Well, you can think you're okay until you open up the Bible. And then you can see things that don't quite line up with the Bible. And so we dare not let it depart from our eyes. We need to preserve it in our thoughts and our hearts. And there's where the blessing will come. There is a dependence in this way, isn't there? You remember the thought, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So one thing that we've seen in the study of wisdom is that God's wisdom is in contrast to man's wisdom. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So there's a self-distrust that's involved in the walk of wisdom. And therefore, we're dependent, aren't we? We're dependent upon His wisdom. We're dependent on His Word. At the same time, we want to distrust ourselves. We can think we're okay, but God can show us that we're not. And if we are open like that, we'll keep growing, and He'll give us light. So this first passage is the most important. This is really the exhortation. And then you have the promise of blessing that flows from this. But we want to get the message that He has for us. Be occupied with wisdom. Keep it. Preserve it in your mind and in your heart, in other words. And lay hold of it. And preserve it. Don't depart from it. You know the passage, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? It's desperately wicked. It's so easy for a person to justify themselves and therefore twist it. And there's where it stands in judgment on us. We don't stand in judgment on it. And so we want to have a certain reverence for God's wisdom. Okay, let's go on. Now, in the next five verses, you have five blessings. And these are wonderful truths that God gives to us here. Let's consider, first of all, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Now, you seem to have two thoughts here. You have the inward life and you have the outward testimony. And the inward life, of course, is that from which the outward testimony flows. But as noted there, it's divinely true and blessed life, life unto thy soul. Now, we know we have eternal life through wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord, reverential trust that leads to the knowledge of God. Trusting Jesus Christ, we have life eternal. But I'm sure this is referring to more than that. This is referring to the vitality of spiritual life of the believer. This is, as Jesus, for instance, put it, my words are spirit and they are life. And you know it when you have a spiritual fullness in your life and a vitality. The opposite is a lethargicness, a dullness spiritually, where we're not keen spiritually, and that is greatly to be avoided. So if we're holding to wisdom, we're hiding the word in our minds and heart, it'll be life into our soul, the truly blessed spiritual life. And Paul differentiates, you know, you have three types of persons in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. You have the natural man, the unregenerate man. He doesn't know the thing, understand the things of God. He can't receive them because these things are spiritually discerned. He needs to be born again. And then you have the spiritual man. Now, he has the mind of Christ. He discerns all things. Then you have, what's the third one? The carnal man. He's the fleshly man. He's not a man walking in wisdom. And all the unsaved are fleshly, right? They are in the flesh, Romans 8. But it's possible for a Christian to be carnal. Some would refute that. Well, Paul is very clear on it. 1 Corinthians 3, he's talking to brethren. He says, are you not carnal? And you have strife and division. There was one indicator. But the other one was, I can't give you the word of God like I'd like to. You're not able to hear it. That's always an indication of spiritual anemia. And Hebrews chapter 5 deals with it too, where you ought to be teachers. You have one, you have a need of the first principles of the oracles of God. Well, and you're not able to feed on the meat of the word, which is Christ. And so there's a life and vitality that comes when a person's holding to wisdom. It's a spiritual vitality. That spiritual man is what we want to be, right? Where we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we have the mind of Christ, we're seeing things from God's viewpoint. And this comes from a saturation with the Bible, doesn't it? You know, Paul talked about the whole counsel of God. I haven't shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So you can't get enough of it. How we need this, that we'd have this life, this vitality, this blessed spiritual life in our soul. And then it'll be grace unto thy neck. It'll be a testimony when a person has it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. We've seen this thought already. Well, verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So you get the picture of somebody who is well-dressed and adorned, but he's speaking, of course, in spiritual terms. To have grace unto thy neck is spiritual virtue, Christian virtue, qualities of God, where you can tell a person's walking with God and because they're holding to wisdom. So that's the thought. So there's inward life and vitality, but outward grace that's seen in the life when a person's holding to wisdom. And remember, wisdom is knowledge applied. There's the real test, isn't it? Where in relationships in life, in different circumstances in life, responsibilities of life, there's grace there. So life and grace will flow from holding to wisdom. That's the first one. Now let's go on in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 23. Then shalt thou understand. Verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Now, thou shalt walk with confidence, Kyle and Deal, let's render this. But it does have to do with a divine protection, no question here. But an inward assurance of that protection. Let's go to Proverbs 1:33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now there's a little bit of overlap from what we'll see in the following passage. There's a safety in wisdom. In fact, what can really hurt you if you're walking in wisdom? Now, I'm not saying there would never be trial or persecution or even martyrdom, but what can really, really hurt you if you're walking in wisdom? Nothing can, because you're protected by God. You're in His will. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So there you have, he's like a shield to you. Wisdom is a shield to you as you walk in it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. So, now you know the passage. If I look at the opposite side of this, be sure your sins will find you out, and we reap what we sow. So if we go contrary to the principles of wisdom, well, that will be evident as well. But if we're walking in wisdom, we're walking safely, and we're walking in a place of divine protection. So a person can have peace. Now, it's true, isn't it? If you, as much as you know you're doing the will of God, you lay your head down on the pillow, you have some rest, right? You have some peace, and the next passage bears that out. Now, he goes on to say, regarding our walk, thy foot shall not stumble. Now, and of course, speaking of the walk through life, the various paths that we go in life, and the decisions that are made, we're not going to stumble if we go in a path of wisdom. Now, this applies all the way down the line. In fact, we're going to see it more in Proverbs, where the rubber meets the road in the practical aspects of life. We're still in the introductory section, I would say, of Proverbs, where he's laying the groundwork. But then he gets into the nitty-gritty in business, in your personal life, your personal holiness and morality and relationships and the home and on and on. He tells us what wisdom is, so we need it. And this is a book that you don't just read through, right? This is a book that you read and reread and reread. And it is especially written for the young person, by the way, my son, as he appeals here. But it's a book that we all need. We need wisdom. But notice, if we go in the path of wisdom, our foot is not going to stumble. We'll see that later. For instance, say a person's in business, and there are such Christian businessmen, and they have integrity, and they're honest, and they do it by faith, and they wait on the Lord, and they don't compromise with the world and its ways, they will be blessed. And now they won't advance like the world advances, in a crooked way, and sometimes by, I've seen that in engineering, where they would want to take somebody else's design, or sometimes it's not all upright with the customer. And as a Christian, you have to steer clear of it, right? In a place like in the workplace, that's the way it is in the world. But if a person goes in the righteous path, well, it becomes known. It reminds me of Pastor Black. After he was saved, he was a car salesman. Now, you don't meet many Christian car salesmen. But what he did is he gave everybody a fair shake. And pretty soon he had so much business, people standing in line practically to come to him. And it gets around. So the point is, if you go in the right path of wisdom, you're not going to stumble. If you compromise and you enter into shady things and then you go contrary to what you know is right and conscience is defiled, then you stumble, right? Then you're tripped up. But if you do what's right, that's a safe path. So that's the point. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Thy foot shall not stumble. Let's go to Isaiah 32:17. 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So it's always true. So there's peace in that path, and again, divine protection in that path. Let's go to Psalm 91:11. This is one who is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. In verse 11, for he shall give his angels, God will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now you may recall Satan's temptation to Christ. He'll give his angels charge over you. Cast yourself down. He'll keep you. But he left out this part, in all thy ways. In other words, you walk in a path of wisdom, there's protection. But you go outside of that path, you don't necessarily have that promise. So there's wisdom in this. There ought to be a certain holy fear of going contrary to God's word, because then we're out of that realm of protection. Again, I'm not touching on security of the believer, but certainly the fullness of blessing that God would have for us in the path of wisdom. Now let's look at a contrast. Jeremiah 13:16. Jeremiah 13:16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. So there's the contrast, stumbling. And so we don't want to go the path where we're stumbling and we're in darkness. But again, following wisdom, there's protection. Okay, let's go on in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 24. Now this is very practical. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, or thou art not afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Now, there's a passage that says the sleep of the laboring man is sweet. Well, here you have the sleep of one walking in wisdom. That will be sweet. Let's compare some passages. The book of Job 11, verse 18. Job 11, 18. And thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. So if you're right with the Lord, then it has a practical effect. Thou shalt not be afraid. There's a deliverance from fear, and then a lying down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Let's compare a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 2, somewhat related. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 6:22. When thou goest, well, let me get the context here. 21, bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And it's good, if I could drop back to practical application, it's good to read the Word before you go to bed. It's good to read the Word when you get up. It's good to have wisdom continually before the mind. And it'll have its good effect, won't it, coupled with prayer. So the sleep will be sweet. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:26 on this one. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. And this is Jeremiah the prophet. So you know how heavily Jeremiah was persecuted, yet God gave that to him. God gave it to Peter as he slept chained between two guards and he was to be executed the next morning, and he's trusting in the Lord, and the angel had to nudge him, didn't he, to get him to wake up, to get out of the prison. But thy sleep shall be sweet. God can give that to us. So you have life and grace flows from holding to wisdom, protection, divine protection, and then rest. And literally, rest. And surely that is associated with a spiritual rest that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, and then it'll have its practical effect. Okay, let's go on now to verse 25, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Now, let me say something. It doesn't mean that there won't be alarming events. In fact, remember what Job said, that which I feared had come upon me. Now, he's a godly man. He's walking by faith. But the point is, there's a different reaction than the child of God has, who, for instance, is walking by faith, realizing God works everything together for good, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God, and you're under the umbrella of His grace and love. And so there's a different viewpoint, isn't there? Where you understand if you drive down the road and somebody comes left of center and hits you head on, and you're taken out, or your loved one's taken out, you can not be afraid of sudden alarm or fear like that, because you know God is working it all together for good. You understand He appoints everything, and or you're greatly persecuted and unjustly so, or you're falsely accused and on, and it does happen, doesn't it? I'm talking about the suffering for righteousness now, things that you may go through. You don't have to have great dread about that. You just rest in the Lord who's in control. You believe He's sovereign, don't you? That He does in heaven according to His will, and on the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, what doest thou? He's absolutely in control. Absolutely He's in control. So that's what brings this. And of course, wisdom includes that thought of faith. So be not afraid of sudden fear. You know, 365 times the Bible says, fear not. You know the primary reason. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Let's go to Psalm 112:7. So there is a rest. There is a peace that wisdom will give. These are the blessings that flow from holding to wisdom. Psalm 112:7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now that's the key, isn't it? So there's what gives that settledness from alarm. And neither of, he says, the desolation of the wicked. In other words, the persecution that comes, the storm of the wicked, when it breaks forth, thou shalt not fear. Let's go to a couple other passages. Proverbs, Psalm, we looked at Proverbs 1. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 8, because it applies. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at this again in the next service. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's kind of a pinnacle, you know, that's been called, that's the jewel in a beautiful ring, this Romans chapter 8. It starts with no condemnation, then there's no separation. But it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that you don't have to fear when you know that God is for you. He's on your side. Now our next passage indicates that. It says, for the Lord, Jehovah, shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So why are these things afforded the believer? Life and grace, protection, rest, peace. Because God is your hope. God is your confidence. God is on your side. He is working for you. And in fact, this passage starts out, he's working everything together for your good. But this is the viewpoint of wisdom. This is the viewpoint of faith. Now, in this last passage here, where he says, the Lord shall be thy confidence, what is the significance of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D? Jehovah. And it's Yahweh, probably more accurate. Actually, nobody knows how to say it because, you know, Israel didn't say it for centuries. And the Lord is the covenant God, the redemptive God. And so this is one who is in that covenant. We have a covenant in his blood. And therefore, he is our confidence. And he is our only confidence. This has nothing to do with self-confidence. God is our confidence. And let's go to Psalm 118:6. And the point being that we're in a covenant relationship with him and he isn't going to fail. We do, but he doesn't. In Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So that's a wonderful truth, isn't it? The Lord is on my side. You have a confidence about that. You know that's true as a believer, that you're under his grace. You stand in grace. Romans 5:2. Again, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so we are the object of his affection. We're called beloved in the New Testament. Let's go to Psalm 146:5. Happy is he that hath a God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now this thought of God being our confidence, I believe this is the same Hebrew word, and he is our hope. He's the one you're looking to. He's the one who gives you help that you're expecting help from. That's the thought here. And you know, those who hope in his mercy, he delights in. And those who trust in the Lord will never be ashamed. Be like Mount Zion, shall not be moved. It's impossible that God wouldn't respond as you trust in him, because of who he is. Now along this line, let's go to Exodus 18 in verse 4. He was teaching Israel this. He was teaching Israel in the Exodus and in their redemption as a nation by blood and by power, and all the judgments on Egypt, and then his opening up the Red Sea, and then the miracles of provision. So all of it was a lesson that they would learn to trust in him. Now you see the parallel. He's trying to teach us the same, isn't he? He's redeemed us by his grace. He answers prayer in the Christian life. And we're tested like they were. But he wants us to develop in that faith where we see him as our confidence. And Exodus 18:4, "And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father," said he, "was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." And he's our help. And that's what we can count on. And he won't. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "And I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Let's go to, if you're in the neighborhood there still, Genesis 49:25. "Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb." And this is referring to Joseph. And you know Joseph was rejected by his brethren. But if you go back a verse, verse 24, "But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, by the Almighty who shall bless thee." And so what is our trust? "The Lord shall be thy confidence." And of course many, many passages throughout. Let me go to one more, Psalm 146:5. Psalm 146:5. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Now you know God will test that. In fact, he'll strip away confidences that we may have, and he'll constrain us to lean upon him, that this would be a reality in life. And I don't know that he does that all together at once, but by degrees, doesn't he? Where he's kind of, it's like a bird out of the nest, you know, he's thrusting us out that we would learn to depend solely upon him. Now, "as the Lord is our confidence," one last phrase here, "he shall keep thy foot from being taken." Again, you have the thought of the foot here. Earlier we saw that your foot won't stumble, but here "it shall not be taken." It means it won't be snared. And let's look at just a few passages in the Psalms. Psalm 94:18. The enemy is there to snare us. And we go outside of the path of wisdom, there's a snare. But again, in that holding to wisdom, there's protection and safety. In Psalm 94:18, "When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." And of course, that's a viewpoint of faith. Psalm 116:8. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." But God is the one who keeps our foot from being snared. And one more, Psalm 121:3. Well, verse 1, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore." So it's wonderful. There's a divine protection. Life and grace, protection, rest, peace, confidence in the path of wisdom. And primary exhortation, though, is to be occupied with it, to preserve it in our hearts, in our minds. In other words, don't be moved away from it. And that's the temptation, especially in trial, or maybe there are distractions, temptations that can come. And if a Christian gets off track when it comes to holding to wisdom. Maybe they get away from the Bible. It's always, as a pastor, I always am apprehensive when a person misses services. And I don't like to get legalistic about that. I never say much about that. I'll just say, we missed you, you know. We hope you're okay. But I've seen a pattern. If a person gets away from the Word, they get weaker, weaker, weaker. And that's where the enemy can come in. It's like a cattle that goes off a feed. I hate to put it in such a crude way. Because if you don't have the positive intake, disease can get in. That's why the dairymen and the herdsmen, they have charts and records of the intake of every animal. Well, God knows what we need. And it's possible to hear it and not hear it too. You can tell as a teacher. And if a person is taking in the Word, it's always a good sign. They're holding to it. And it's especially important that there be a strong devotional life. Because when that's there, that's such a tremendous safeguard. And what it shows is that a person loves the Lord and that they have a personal relationship with the Lord, that they're walking with the Lord. And there's power in that. There's protection in that. As we see, there's all these blessings that flow from that. There's peace in that. There's confidence in that. So this first part is imperative here, that we hold to it, that we need to be in the Word, right? Then it needs to be in us. So there's an effort that has to be put forth, and there's a diligence. And I realize, too, when you're, as a Christian, and you're serving the Lord, the enemy hits you, doesn't he? And he if it doesn't work from one side, it will come in from another side. Well, you need to know where your strength is, though, right, as a Christian. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Need to know how to use the Word, how to hold to the Word, how to seek God in prayer. And there is a renewal where the enemy can't get the best of us because we know what our weapons are. We know what our resources are. So don't let them depart. Don't let anything come in. Don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let him sidetrack you. And then the blessings, these other blessings will come. Let's pray. Father, how we do thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the wisdom that's found in the Word of God. And we pray that You'd help us that we could hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. May we be saturated with it. May we be holding to the truth that's in the Bible to know the divine protection and peace. And Father, to know the fullness of blessing that You would have for our souls and for our lives. We rejoice in the truth that we have. And in a world that's getting worse, and when the attacks come against Thy people, may we be strong in the Word and strong in wisdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.